නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Text 29 to 32. Since Text 29 is on the board, we will recite this verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kripalur Akrita Drohas Titikshu Sarvadehina Satyasaro Navadhyatma Sama Sarvopakaraka Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kripalurakrita Drohas Titikshu Sarvadehina Satyasaro Navadhyatma Sama Sarvopakaraka Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kripalurakrita Droha Titikshu Sarvadehina Satyasaro Navadhyatma Sama Sarvopakaraka Matajis? Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Uddhav, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving toward all living entities. His strength and meaning in life come from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy and his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Thus he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires and he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary, and He is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and He strictly controls His eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts Me as his only shelter. Today we are going to discuss qualities number 7, 8 and 9. So we will directly jump to the purports. Quality number 7, Sarvopakaraka. Neglecting one's selfish desires and working for the satisfaction of others is called Paropkar, whereas causing trouble to others for one's personal gratification is called Parapakar. A devotee always works for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, who is a resting place of all living entities, and thus a devotee's activities are ultimately pleasing to everyone. Devotional service to Lord Krishna is a perfectional stage of welfare work, since Lord Krishna is a supreme controller of everyone's happiness and distress. Foolish persons under the influence of false egotism, considering themselves to be the ultimate well-wishers of others, execute superficial materialistic activities rather than attending to the eternal happiness of others. Because a devotee remains pure and engages in missionary activities, he is everyone's best friend. Quality number 8, Kamair Ahata Dhi. Ordinary persons see all material things as objects for their personal sense gratification, and thus they try to acquire or control them. Ultimately, a man wants to possess a woman and enjoy sex gratification with her. The Supreme Lord supplies the desired fuel that causes the fire of lust to burn painfully in one's heart. But the Lord does not give self-realization to such a misguided person. Lord Krishna is transcendental and neutral, but if one is eager to exploit the Lord's creation, the Lord gives one facility through Maya, and one becomes cheated of real happiness by entangling himself in the false role of a great and lusty enjoyer of the world. On the other hand, one who has taken full shelter of Krishna is enriched with perfect knowledge and bliss, and is not cheated by the seductive appearances of the material world. A pure devotee does not follow the path of the foolish deer, which is seduced by the hunter's horn and killed. A devotee is never attracted by the sensuous entreaties of a beautiful woman, and he avoids hearing from bewildered karmis about the so-called glories of material acquisition. Similarly, a pure devotee is not bewildered by aroma or taste. He does not become attached to sumptuous eating, nor does he spend the whole day making arrangements for bodily comfort. The only actual enjoyer of God's creation is the Lord Himself, and the living entities are secondary enjoyers who experience unlimited pleasure through the Lord's pleasure. This perfect process of experiencing pleasure is called Bhakti Yoga or pure devotional service, and a devotee never sacrifices his auspicious position of steady intelligence even in the face of so-called material opportunity. Quality number 9, Danta. A devotee is naturally repelled by sinful activities and controls his senses by dedicating all his acts to Krishna. This requires steady concentration and a cautious mentality. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनाबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभो नित्यानन्दा श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Very grateful for this opportunity to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is the most auspicious day of Ekadashi, and on today's day we are discussing verses 29 to 32, which talks about the different qualities of a devotee. So basically, all of us, we live in two different worlds simultaneously. One is the external world that we are living in, all the external interactions that we have, our position in society and our different relationships in this world. And there's another world that we live in at the same time, that's called the internal world. And more often than not, what happens is that there is a major difference between what is happening internally and what is happening externally. Externally, people may be going around their different engagements in a very happy way, smiling, oh, I am fine, you are fine, everybody is fine. But internally, in the internal world, it's a completely different story. It's probably not congruent with what is seen externally. Another example of difference between an internal world, difference between an internal world and external world is that in the external world, we may be insignificant. In the sense, who are we compared to the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of India? Or for that matter, if we are looking closer for an example, closer to our context, then who are we compared to the temple president or the counselor? We are just like a very, very insignificant person. But when you look at the internal world, what is happening in the internal world is that whoever the Prime Minister of India or the President of the United States or the temple president or whoever, they all become insignificant, and my desires and my needs and my comforts, that becomes most prominent. In fact, if you look at it as a movie, in the external movie, we are probably playing a very, sidey character or an extra. But the movie that is going on internally, we are definitely the heroes or the heroines. And the whole world is moving around us. So that's one of the main reasons for stress when we are in this world, is that external world is something else, my internal world is something else. And when you see it from the absolute reality point of view, both are illusion. Because neither am I the center of attention or attraction, nor are the others of the world the center or of attention. That's the, and because of this incongruence, it leads to a lot of mental instability and mental stress. So the Shastras say the easiest way to, first of all, the Shastras indicate that we should, when a practicing spiritualist should always try his best to be antarmukh rather than bahirmukh. There will be so many ups and downs happening in the outside world, so many storms, but he is always advised as much as possible to be always focused internally. Try to be aware of what is the world he is living in and try to get that internal world more in congruence with the actual reality. So how do we know what is the actual reality? The actual reality is what is mentioned in the Shastras by the words of the Guru and the Sadhus. So when we understand that, look, I am not the center of attention, the absolute truth, Lord Sri Krishna, the center of attention, the desires of the devotees is the center of attention, and we are able to look at the whole world in that, from that point of view, from that consciousness, we are able to rewrite the script of the internal movie, you can say, or rewire ourselves. Now, one of the easiest way of rewiring ourselves is, the scriptures tell us, by the constant remembrance of the Lord. The Lord's names, the Lord's forms, the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's qualities. By doing this over and over again, we may not be able to understand by our educated scientific mind in how it happens. But because it is mentioned by the scriptures and the very realized souls from their own personal experience, this is the sure shot way of how we can rewire ourselves internally and become more congruent with the desires of the absolute reality. So the easiest way of remembering the Lord, Srila Prabhupada mentions many times in his purports, is through the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, this practice of chanting of the holy names should be done with an utmost seriousness, and we should understand that this is not some another activity that we have many engagements in our devotional life, and this is also another one that I have to just get it done with. Many scriptures almost screamingly declare that this is the highest dharma, especially for this age of Kali. Therefore, we should not be lazy at all in our dedicated efforts to practice the chanting of the holy names with utmost seriousness. I would like to talk about the practice a little more. For example, when we say sadhana, sadhana translates to practice. So just like there is a musical player, musical instrument player, say he's playing the violin or the piano, or say mridanga. So he or she has to spend hours and hours of dedicated, focused practice to get some proficiency in that instrument. But mind you, that whole hours and hours, suppose that instrument player is there, and say in a year's time or 2 years' time, they have got to give a performance, public performance. So all that practice is necessary so that when the time comes for performance, they are able to give the best output. The player should not simply be satisfied with just the, I practiced for so many hours, so I'll be happy. You are just doing that day in and day out so that you can get that 15 or 20 minutes of correct notes in the most trying circumstances. So similarly, when we are chanting the holy names, just like in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, At the time of death, because we are eternal bodies, we will get another body. And depending on the consciousness at the time of death, we will have to accept another body. So when we are practicing, if we just consider the chanting as a casual practice, from say 5:50 to 7:45 I have to chant, this is a chanting time, so I just like go through it and not be in it, then there is something seriously wrong with our practice. At least theoretically, just like examples which come to my mind immediately are, say, the special forces. Every country or army has a dedicated bunch of people who are termed as special forces. They are used for like really exclusive commando operations which require high level of intense focus, dedication and skills. Like for example, some terror attacks. We had unfortunate terror attacks 10 years ago, right here in our city. So these people are trained up to enter the building, you know, flush out the kill the kidnappers, bring out the hostages alive, deal with different situations. They're very much trained up. And that training is a result of probably years and years of practice under simulated conditions. Because if they are not trained up and there is some terror attack somewhere, you don't expect the special forces soldier to suddenly like radio his boss and say, "Sir, I just forgot how to load my gun. I kind of bunked that class, or I was sleeping in that class, or my family members had come to visit, I had gone. So can you just like tell me or send me a WhatsApp with the instructions how to load the gun? Oh my God, you're finished and everybody who depends on you is finished." Similarly, pilots, they are also, when they fly the plane, they are also under trained up under simulators which simulate the flight, the different conditions of the flight. In fact, you may not want to do this, but still I'll tell you, if you just search for last minute conversations between the pilots before the plane crashed, you will be very, very surprised to note that almost till a few seconds before the crash, the pilots are extremely cool and calm. They know that all their engines are failing, the plane is going down, but because they are trained up to handle any kind of emergency, they are not still panicked. They are trying everything till the last moment. So similarly, the point I am trying to stress here is that when we are sitting down to chant the holy names, whether it is in Japa or Kirtan or any other opportunity that we get, we should try to internally put ourselves in the zone, as some spiritual practitioners call it. The zone where internally we can just take a few seconds or a few minutes to think that this is the highest thing that I can do. I am a spirit soul, absolutely insignificant. Everything that I am taking shelter of, you know, my body, my mind, my intelligence, my position, my friends, everything can be ripped away from me without a single apology. Nobody's going to even say, "Sorry, sir, I'm just taking this away from you." Without an apology, it'll be ripped away from us. So in that case, what am I going to do? If we think about it for a few seconds or for a few minutes and then we chant, then that is the practice which will be more or less kind of like the practice which will be there at our actual performance at the time that we leave a body. In fact, Prabhupada used to say that if somebody asked Prabhupada, "But what about the mind when we chant?" Prabhupada explained, "Just here." And we quote this example, "Just here." But if you actually look at it, it's a very, very deep and profound instruction. Just here. Don't worry about the mind. Because when we hear, when we are able to hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in our meditation, in our japa, in our kirtan very clearly, those few seconds or those for those few nanoseconds is the actual time when we can actually experience what it means to be beyond this body and the mind. What it means to be at the level of the soul. I'll try to give an example. Just like, you know, during the chanting, we have so many distractions. Basic distractions are bodily distractions. Oh, back is paining, knees are paining, so many things are going on. Emotional distractions. I'm feeling very sad today. I'm extremely happy. Oh, intellectual distractions, which many of us who are educated have. Intellectual distractions is when you're chanting, you think of something, some concept, and then somehow or the other, you focus so much on that concept, you kind of build it up. And you're having like an internal dialogue, looking at the concept from different angles or vision. So somebody who's not an intellectual may not be able to identify with this, but those who are will be able to know exactly what I'm speaking about. So those are like intellectual distractions. And finally, the distractions of the ego. Oh, in my internal world, I consider myself to be a very special person. May not be well known, may not be famous, may not be powerful, influential, but I am good, I am sincere, and this other person is not giving me that value, not considering to be sincere, not giving value to my opinion. How can this be? So we have distractions on the level of the ego. But when we are able to hear the mantra, so the only, I remember our dear Srinathji Prabhu, once I was talking to him and he was explaining, Shadbhuj, just tell me what is the only possession of the soul. And I was, Prabhu, you please enlighten me. He said the possession of the soul is only its consciousness actually. Nothing else is actually in the possession of the soul. Absolutely nothing else. It's a very deep statement. Except for consciousness, except for awareness, there is nothing else that the soul can possess. In fact, consciousness means that's a symptom that the soul exists. So when that consciousness is aware of the holy names, that is the position where you are beyond the ego, beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, beyond the body. So what we have to aspire is to try to maintain our consciousness and keep it focused on the holy names. So it's just a question of priority. If we say that I'm not able to do it, that means that so far we have not realized that it should be the highest priority in my life. Suppose you have we have all gone through our academic careers, some of us are going through it right now, giving exams. So there is like a big cricket match going on and you know you're feeling tired, you're feeling sleepy. But you really know that this exam is important for me. If I clear this exam, it'll be good for my future, it'll be good for my career. So consciously you try to put aside your distractions, your smartphone, and try to focus on the exam or whatever it is that you want to get done. So similarly, if we find that we are having difficulty hearing the holy names or concentrating on the holy names during our interaction with the holy names, then we should again check whether we have really prioritized it in our life. It's not just a lip service. I know it's a yoga dharma, it's very important. Yes, I understand. I also probably speak it to others. But in my internal world, if I'm not prioritized it, that is that will reflect in our lack of ability to maintain concentrated focus on the holy names. And obviously the priority, to maintain the priority, we have to be very alert in reading the scriptures and associating with the sadhus who have faith in the holy names and who have made it their priority in their life. Therefore, because some of us may just go to the other extreme and just say that, okay, I'll just chant the holy names and I don't need to read, I don't need to hear, and holy names will help me. But that will be a very incomplete absorption. If one really wants to get deeply absorbed, one needs to really understand whose names are we calling out to. Who is this Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare? Who are these people? Why should I want to be with them? What is their ability to give me shelter? Like, for example, it's very important that we have the correct conception about God also, and this conception comes from a very, very deep study of the scriptures. Sometimes I've seen many devotees, they, especially when they go through many difficulties one after the other, so they lose a lot of faith in the Lord. And they think of their conception of the Lord is somebody who is always waiting to test, like derives sadistic pleasure and is unwilling to give himself and wants to see his devotees or his followers go through immense suffering just to achieve him and still not be willing to present himself before them and enjoying the whole process. So the thing is, it's why it is important that we should have the correct conception about God, is that if this is the conception of God that we have, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I reciprocate the way you approach me. So if we approach our Krishna or Gopinath in the mood that you are a sadistic person and I know you won't come to me, I might call out for you for 50 years, 60 years, still you will make me suffer, you won't bother to remove my anarthas, then Krishna more or less, because he may just reciprocate in that way. I'm using the word may, because Krishna is independent, he can behave any way he wants. So if that is the God that you are calling out to day in and day out in your kirtan, in your japa, in your prayers, if you are addressing that kind of a God, you may get that reaction in that same way, who doesn't want to come close to you. But there is another conception about God. What is that conception of God? A conception of God who is totally mad after Radharani's love. A God who's like, he's completely intoxicated. Everywhere he looks, he's only able to see Radharani. So when he sees that an insignificant living entity, it is said that Radharani or the Hladini Shakti, she is the one who gives each and every living entity within this cosmos and beyond the ability to love Krishna. So that love that all of us possess to a minute degree is actually Radharani's love. When Krishna sees that, he gets so intoxicated, because that reminds him of Krishna, he is just willing to give his life for that living entity. So when that living entity calls out with that deep love to the Lord immediately will drop everything and run towards us. So that is the God that we want to worship and we want to follow. So now this is a very important concept. I am just like towards the end of the class, just entering into the realm of Paropkar. So Paropkar is basically this. sharing the faith. It's not just a question of I read the scriptures, I quote it, and I'm able to repeat it. This is good, no doubt about it. We've been advised by our spiritual masters and all our guides and by Prabhupada himself that this is one of the aspects of giving paropkar, giving knowledge. But the main paropkar is that we want to give the living entities in general who are suffering three truths. And please try to understand that this is like the basic truths of any spiritual path. I am not even getting into Gaudiya Vaishnava truth here. The first truth is that God exists, God is a person, God exists, and God can give me shelter, all of us shelter. The second truth is that God who exists and give me shelter is very important, that God who gives me shelter also loves me. That is such an important aspect. Because whenever we go through so many difficulties, the first question that comes to my mind is, okay, I agree, my friends, friends are of this world, relatives are of this world, money, possessions of this world, no hope. But looks like even my Lord, whom I spent a lifetime pursuing sincerely, even He has left me. So that should not, does He even love me? He's abandoned me now. Where is He? So we should have that faith that God loves me. That's the second truth that we should develop. And the third, first is, there is a God who can give me shelter. And that God, that all-powerful, almighty God who maintains everything, who gives me shelter, also loves me. And the third is that God's love can manifest in any situation or through any person or through anything. It may not really be just like our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, God's mercy need not always come from the front. Sometimes God's love or God's mercy may come from behind also. So when we get good things in life, we don't complain, we don't ask the Lord, my Lord, why have you given this? Sometimes it happens. We don't do anything in the project and then we get a lot of glorification, credit. Oh, doing nice, great, everybody applauds. But when we get blamed for something we don't do, then we become very restless. So that's very important for us to have this faith. And the faith comes from experience. I will just share a very, personally for me, it was a very intense experience. You may also remember this incident about how a devotee's faith can completely change the way that you look at the situation. A few months ago, all of us are aware of this, one of our God brothers, who was very competent and very dedicated, suddenly lost his life in a freak accident. And he was heading a big project and there were like crores and crores of rupees invested in that project and there were so much hopes on that this project would just take off. And of course, we all loved him, but at the same time, at the back of our minds, we are always thinking, okay, what will happen to this now? Who's going to take care of this? And I remember very clearly sitting back. I didn't have the guts to go in front and sit in the memorial. I was just sitting. And everybody is giving their offerings, heartfelt offerings, expressing their gratitude. And finally, at the end, the sannyasi gets up. And he starts speaking. And he said that actually about this project, he said it very dismissively that Krishna can just maintain this project anyway, I am not so bothered about it. I'm sure Krishna can, take care of the project. It was just one or two lines. But I'm sure many of you may be recalling this instance. And when he said it, it just hit my heart like so deeply that this person has so much faith. And just like we discussed, that intellectual distraction. So I'm probably also kind of that variety. So I was thinking, if Krishna can maintain universes, so many planets are revolving around each other and none of the planets are crashing into each other. He can take care of, all the karmas of so many unlimited living entities. And, so many things are going on in this, and there are like unlimited universes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining that to Vasudev Datta, that this universe is like a bag full of mustard seeds. So if Krishna can do all that, what is the difficulty for him to maintain one insignificant, like some project on some little planet, insignificant planet? This is supposed to be one of the smallest universes. So what is the difficulty in accepting that? So this is called paropkar. When a person has faith in the Lord, so when he speaks, he may not realize it, but unconsciously, when you associate with him, his faith rubs on to you. And then you start believing in the unbelievable. You start having hope in situations where just a few seconds ago there is no hope. So that is the highest level of paropkar. And in the purport, there is a very nice line about welfare work, sarvopakaraka. A devotee always works for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, who is a resting place of all living entities, and thus a devotee's activities are ultimately pleasing to everyone. Devotional service to Lord Krishna is a perfectional stage of welfare work. So, just like there is this verse which says, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesatanyas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpita. So the highest devotional service is performed, this is as per the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one else. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has recorded this, that the highest devotional service is performed by the Vrajavadus. Hence they are doing the highest paropkar, according to this sentence in the purport. For example, if you all remember that extraordinary situation about Krishna getting a headache, no one else was willing to give Krishna the dust of their feet to apply on his head. Apparently Narad Muni said that is the only antidote for his for curing his headache. But when the Vrajavadus, the gopis of Vrindavan, when they heard it, they all went to a corner, started scraping their feet furiously. So Narad Muni said, wait, do you know what you're doing? If you put the dust, you'll be in hell eternally. We can't even tolerate a single pinprick or some difficult situation for a few days or few weeks or few months, few years. What to speak about suffering eternally? But the Vrajavadu says, yeah, don't worry. If doing this helps Krishna be relieved of his suffering for even a nanosecond, we are willing to suffer in hell eternally. So that is the enthusiasm they have for pleasing Krishna. And ultimately among the Vrajavadus, who is the ultimate? Obviously Srimati Radharani. In the dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, when they reached the ultimate culmination about Radharani's love, so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like completely satisfied. And one of the unique aspects of Radharani's love is that Radharani is always wanting to increase Krishna's pleasure. And one of the ways of increasing Krishna's pleasure is that, because we know that variety is the spice of life, so she wants to give Krishna pleasure in different ways. So sometimes she goes in the forefront personally, and other times she pushes others to go ahead and serve Krishna. Because she knows correctly that Krishna is able to taste, Krishna is able to get more pleasure when he tastes devotional mellows through different devotees. So now this, ultimately now I am coming to the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. We are supposed to somehow or the other enter this. But at our fallen stage, we are so far away from this. Hence, Lord Krishna, adopting the mood of Radharani, comes in the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And it is the same concept of the Rasleela, in which we all come together and chant Sankirtan, chant the holy names, prioritize the holy names that we talked about, be in our own zone, be in our zone that we talked about, a simulated zone when we feel that this is the only thing that will last with us beyond this life. And then we sit in the zone, and then when we chant, on one hand our chanting is giving pleasure to the Lord, but when we engage in Sankirtan and are able to involve others also in chanting the holy names of the Lord, then the pleasure of the Lord increases. So that is the whole concept about how Sankirtan is a reflection of the Rasleela that is happening eternally in the spiritual world. And by trying to absorb ourselves in the Sankirtan mission of the Lord, especially in the core activity of chanting and dancing congregationally, we are doing the highest paropkar. Because when we keep chanting and we see the results, how our whole consciousness is evolving and how the consciousness of others who are also taking this process very seriously is evolving, we get faith that this works. Somehow or the other, we have been given the service of, going out and chanting for a few hours every other day. And every day when we go out, it never fails to impress us that just laymen on the street, sometimes when we are in a devotional community, we tend to focus so much about the melodies and the tunes and the singing capability and the instrument playing capability. But when we go outside, we see day in and day out, almost every day, we are, it never fails to impress us that just normal tunes may not be good singers, they may not be good players, but how deeply they get enthusiastic, especially for those who have some piety, in them, it's like a lotus blooming suddenly. They are all moros, and suddenly and of all walks of life, like real high society people, taxi drivers, sweepers, police, bus conductors, males, females, children. So this, it's no wonder. So when we do this, because without doing it, we will not have faith. It will just be like a theoretical thing. If somebody says, okay, you take this medicine, your fever will go, and you just look at the instructions of the medicine and you try to learn all the different chemical names and everything, your fever has still not gone. We have to open the tablet, put the tablet in our mouth and just wait for a few hours. If the fever goes, then you have faith. Yes, this works. And maybe you can recommend to others also. So unless and until we are not practicing it in our life, how can we ever have faith that Lord's love can manifest through His holy names and Lord's love can give us and the whole world shelter? So if we want to increase our taste in chanting the holy names, we have to engage in Harinam Sankirtan regularly. If we want to expand our ocean of bliss and help others also expand their ocean of bliss, we should ourselves try to engage in Harinam Sankirtan and help others engage in Harinam Sankirtan. If we want to purify Vaishnava relationships, if we have Vaishnava difficulties among Vaishnavas, if we can come together and single-mindedly focus on chanting the holy names in Sankirtan, that will help it. If we want to go beyond the bodily concept of life, we have to regularly engage in Harinam Sankirtan. And finally, if we want to enter into the moods of the Vrajvadhus or the Vrajvasis who have completely dedicated their body, mind and soul to satisfying Krishna, then we have to engage in Harinam Sankirtan. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Nama eva kevalam. Hare Krishna.